Now go back to 1 Corinthians with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at these few verses again. Verse 1, Paul called to be an apostle. Verse 2, to the church of God at Corinth or Rocky Mount, wherever God's people are. To them that are sanctified in Christ, called to be saints, with all in, that in every place call on the name of the Lord. Verse 9, God is faithful by whom you were called. Verse 26, you see your calling, brethren. So what this message is about is the call, how God calls his people and those who are called and how they call. They call. Our Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. Our Lord's in heaven. He doesn't speak out loud. He speaks through his word, though. That's what the word says. He speaks through his word. And he calls preachers to preach the word. And miraculously, amazingly, mercifully, graciously, our Lord speaks through these earthen vessels. His word, mind you. It's not their words. It's his word. It's his power. They preach Christ. And Christ, he said, my sheep hear my voice. Oh, may the Lord, the great shepherd of the sheep, call his sheep this morning. Salvation is to be called. And salvation is for the Lord to keep calling you and never quit calling you. Because like sheep, we sing that song, come thou fount, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And we will wander, and we wouldn't come back if he didn't call us. We wouldn't come in the first place if he didn't call us. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And that's by the gospel. Now, every one of us knows what it is to call someone. Oh, do we ever? These phones that we're tied to, man, oh man, they're both a blessing and a curse, aren't they? But you can easily get a hold of someone. We call someone on telephone. That means you want to speak to them. You call them. On the phone. A call means to cry out. Have you ever hollered at somebody? I mean, you really wanted to get their attention? You'd cry with, hey, stop. If you ever been lost, you know what you do? You cry. You call. Help. Gabe preached a message on that one time, what to do if you're lost. First thing, cry, call. Everybody knows what it is to call on someone. It was an old country saying years ago, I guess people still say it, I'm going to pay them a visit, I'm going to call on them. It means pay a visit, it means come see. Well, this is a good picture. That's what the Lord does, all his people. He calls them. He calls. And he visits them in mercy and grace and salvation. Salvation is to be called by God. By God. Preacher, soul winner, so to speak, he can't call anybody. He can't bring anybody. But Christ said, my sheep hear my voice. He's able. Salvation is to be called by God, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Chose him, elected him, gave him to Christ to come save him. Whom he did predestinate, he called. By the gospel. This is how he calls people. He doesn't call people sitting up on the mountain with their legs crossed, meditating. all of that. He calls through the gospel. It's the gospel call. It's the preaching of the gospel. We just read, men call it foolishness. I don't need that. Yes, you do. I did. I am the prodigal son. I would not be here right now. I would not know God. I wouldn't know Christ. I'd probably be dead. But God, I heard the gospel. A man God raised up just happened to be my father. And that was a miracle, because I've told you my story so many times. That I heard message after message after message after message. That's just my dad. He's a preacher. That's what he does. And as soon as I could, I'm out of here. I'm tired of this. I didn't have ears to hear. I didn't have a heart. I'm out of here. I was a prodigal son. I left. I'm gone. Boy, was I. I want to be free from this. Oh, far from free. Until I ended up in the pit like the prodigal son. But God called me by his grace. Brought me back in his providence to sit under the sound of the gospel. And one day I heard my dad. But it wasn't my dad. It was the Lord speaking to me through the gospel. Paul said to the Thessalonians, he wrote, I'm bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Nobody chooses God. He must choose us. Has chosen you through sanctification of spirit of God, rounding you up. You know, the lot is cast into the lap. What am I going to do? This is what I'm going to do. Well, you may think that. But the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Proverbs 6. He rounds them up, the Holy Spirit. God says, bring my sons, bring my daughters from me. Bring them to where? To hear the gospel. To hear my voice. Bring them and sit them down. Bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because he chose you from the beginning, chose you to salvation through sanctification of spirit and belief of the truth. A lot of lies, a lot of false religion out there today. The truth say, the truth shall make you free. Truth, the true God, the true Christ. Truth of who you are. Truth of how God say. Through belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. That's what it said. 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14. Is that how you were called? You didn't know God till you heard the truth, did you? No, you don't. If someone thinks they do, they haven't. They don't. Because this is what it says. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. There are many reasons for that, but we don't need another reason other than that God said so. Okay? So, salvation is to be called by God through the gospel. It's to be called from death to life. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. That means dead. Oh, very much alive to the world. Very much living in the world. And everything in the world is your life. And it's really death, because everything is dead and dying. And we are too. Everything in this world is dying things. And we live for it unless God calls us from death unto life. There was a ruler in the synagogue named Darius. He had a daughter. He said, she's near to death. How's that? Well, maybe she's out in the world. Maybe she's hooked on this and that and the other. Maybe she's so controlled by the things of this world that she's going to die any day now. Expecting to get a call that we found her dead. And Darius came to the Lord and said, Lord, if you can do anything, please. And you know, well, she died. And you know, there are people, my parents thought I was dead. They didn't know where I was. And I didn't contact them for a long time. How could I do that to them? But God. Christ went to visit her. And he said, Talitha kumi, maid, arise. And she got up. And she ate, which is a picture of the gospel. Now she needs the gospel. She's hungry. She's alive. Oh, that he would do that for our daughters, huh, brother? They're dead. He calls from death unto life. He calls out of darkness into light. John 3. Go over to John chapter 3. He calls from darkness to light. Now here's condemnation. That light has come into the world. Christ, the light. God is light. But men love darkness. John chapter 3. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Anybody in here used to live for the night? Nocturnal? That's mankind. Man loves darkness. All evil's done in the light of God, his eye. He sees it all. But man really plots and plans and gets really mad at night. And he thinks he's under the cover of darkness. No, not covered at all. Light and the dark are alike unto God. Sees it all. Light come into the world, the light of truth. You know, light exposes. Light reveals things. And that's the Word of God. And that's the gospel. That's you know, people have come here to visit, and for whatever reason, God brought them, but. And they hear the truth. They hear God's word because this is the only thing that saves. So we preach God's word. And I see it in the faces sometimes. People, I don't like that. It makes me feel. I'm not that bad. Or God's not like that. Yes, he is too. You're just reading what it says about him. Just saying what it says about him. And I see, and they leave, and it's because I don't like that. It makes me feel bad. The gospel is not good news to anybody unless they feel bad. Brother Barnard used to say, I'm not trying to get people saved. I'm trying to get them lost. The first thing the gospel, the word God does is convict of sin. That only sinners need a Savior. Look at verse 19, John 3. This is condemnation. Light is coming to the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Neither cometh to the light lest his deeds should be reproved. We had a neighbor, a couple. We like them a lot. We do things for one another. We kept talking to them to get them to come. They finally came. With their two sons and sat on the back row, and we were glad to see them. We were hopeful. And I could tell that they thought, this is too serious. This is not like religion today. This is not fun. It's serious. You act like this is life or death. And it never came back. Hope they will. But you see, this is in light of what of John 3:16. You see that? A few know John 3:36, 3:18. Very few people know. He that believeth not is condemned already, under condemnation. Verse 36, he that believeth not, the wrath of God abideth right now. Not the love of God. The wrath. But verse 21, look at this. It says, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they're wrought in God. Oh, wanting to know that God has done a work in us wanting to know what Christ has done for sinners or whether or not he did it for me. You come to the light, you come to the word, you come to the gospel, you come to hear the gospel because you don't want darkness. You don't like darkness. You've been in darkness. You don't want to stay there. You want out. That's why the people in Egypt, the Israelites, the Egyptians weren't calling to get out of Egypt. Children of Israel were. Why? They didn't want it out of those slime pits. And God heard their cry and he brought them out. How? A lamb. Brought them out of darkness into his marvelous light. Translated them from the kingdom of this world, Egypt, into the promised land. Took them out of captivity. Took captivity captive. His. Now they belong to him. Aren't you glad? You used to think I was my own man. Nope. Completely captive to the God of this world and to myself. And free it all. You know, it's like a worm, an earthworm. You go outside after a rain. You go outside in the morning and you see these earthworms all over the pavement or whatever. They only come out at night because they live in the dirt. They live in the filth. That's their life. And you know what they're made of? Dirt. And that's going to go back to the dust. And that's man in it. Go back to the dirt. Well, just as soon as the light comes up, these creatures of the night come out. And what do they want? Get back to the dirt. Don't like this light. Well, how are you going to get a worm to like light? You have to change it. You have to transform it. Called metamorphosis, didn't it? What happens to a caterpillar, which is a pretty worm? Caterpillar, what happens is it dies. It goes into this cocoon. It's wrapped up like old Lazarus in the tomb. And it's wrapped up, completely covered up, and it's dead to the world, okay? And the scripture says God's people are crucified with Christ. First thing God, he says, I kill and I make alive. Thus saith the Lord, I kill and I make alive. The first thing he does to us is kill us before he makes us alive. Wounds us before he heals us. Shows us what worms we are, lovers of darkness, before he shows us the light. So you take that caterpillar and you put him in a cocoon and wrap him up and he's dead. Okay? Oh, a little while later. You just wait. It doth not yet appear what that worm will be, but you will see him. He'll come out. He's coming out of there. Oh, what is he now? Butterfly. What's he do? Go bury in the dirt? Oh, no. The fly in the sun. If you'd have told me 50 years ago that I would run to the house of God and sit and just sit there wanting, hoping to hear God's word. I said, what are you smoking? But God. Salvation's of the Lord. John and I were just sitting there talking about what a miracle we are, him and I. Salvation is a miracle. If you're saved, it's a miracle of God's grace. If he calls you, it'll be a miracle. We're not worth calling. And a trillion others just like us. God doesn't need us. We're all just the same. My nature, rebel. 1 Corinthians 2 said, natural man receiveth not the things of God's foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. Not interested. That was me. Was that you? Not interested. I'm sure grateful God took an interest in me. Not calling. Oh, I'm sure grateful. I'm sure thankful God called on me because I wouldn't have called on him. I don't want him. Oh, I'm so thankful it pleased God to make me his people or I wouldn't be. Have you been called? Have you been called? Peter said this. He said, give diligence, brethren, to make your calling and election sure. You know, election is true. It's the absolute truth of God's Word. 27 times in Scripture, some form of the Word. And not to mention all the word the times it speaks about being chosen, chosen. Christ said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God. It's all through the Scripture. It's true. God doesn't elect or choose someone. No one would ever choose or come to Him. Wouldn't do it. Wouldn't do it. I wouldn't. No way. Okay? Elect. Peter said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You can't look at the Lamb's Book of Life. Those names were put in that Lamb's Book of Life before the world began. God put those names in there. Predestined them to be His people. Chose them. Put them in the Lamb's Book of Life, gave them in a covenant to Jesus Christ to come to this world and save every one of them, not come and try to save everybody, but to save them, His people. He said He came for His own. My own sheep, my sheep, going to hear my voice. The others are goats. But they were given to Christ, and those names were put in the Lamb's Book of... I'm not making this up. This is the Bible. And put their names in the Lamb's Book of Life, okay, and sealed it. Sealed it up, and it's not going to be open until the end of the world. Is that what the Scripture said? And you hear these charlatans, these false prophets say, there's a new name written in heaven. Oh, no, no. No, 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 no. Where's he getting that? Says the lamb is going to come and take the book. The lion is going to come and take the book out of him that's sitting on the throne and open the book and read the names there. And they're all going to be there. Everyone, not one missing. Not one added. That's what it said. Well, I can't read the book. I can't look into it. How do I know if I'm one of God's elect? God has an elect. I hope I'm one of them, but I can't read the book. Well, Simon Peter said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. My dad used to say, you know you're elect by the call. For all whom he chose, he called. All whom he predestinated, he called. How? By the gospel. By what I'm doing right now. By who I'm preaching right now. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 1. Now, I know you're... Beloved, your election of God. How do you know, Paul? Can you look in the book? No. He says, our gospel came unto you. Our gospel. He said, there's another gospel in Galatians 1. That's not it. Another Jesus who wants to and tries and fails and can't. That's not Jesus Christ of Scripture. A God who wants to save and can't unless you let Him. That is not the God of the Bible. That is not God. That's a God who cannot save. Our God does as He will, with whom He will, just because He will. Amen. And I'm so glad. They say, well, He cannot violate your will. He better. Amen. If He doesn't, you're a goner. I was a goner if He hadn't have said, you will come unto me. I will not. Yes, you will. That's an effectual call. Our gospel that came unto you, not in word only, not in reading a sermon, not in, you know, won't you accept, in power, the Scripture said, Holy Ghost power, that is heart convicting, heart piercing, mind changing, heartbreaking, sin revealing, God revealing power. Reveal the dreadful God, terrible God. Oh, have mercy on me, oh God. The whole world said, oh my God. Well, when the gospel comes in power, you know what you're going to say? Oh my God, have mercy on me. When you find out you're in a pit, and that pit may be a pew. Or it might be the pit of whatever it is, like I was, down in the earth. But it might be a pew. That darkness is just, we got people in there just like that. It was in religion, just like those Pharisees. But God. The gospel came. This gospel came. And not in word only, but in power and a Holy Ghost. What does a Holy Ghost do? Our Lord told us plainly, told his disciples, in John 14, John 16, all through there, the Comforter shall come. The one whom the Father will send in my name, he'll come. What will he do? What does he do? Well, he said he'll take the things of mine and show them unto you. Says he'll convict of sin, righteousness, judgment. He'll convict of sin. What's that? You're a sinner. Not we are sinners. I'm a sinner. Like Saul of Tarsus was in religion. He thought he was blameless. He was moral. He knew God. He didn't know God. But God came with the Holy Spirit, preaching the gospel, God's word, convicted him of his sin, of righteousness. That is, God is holy and holy, holy, a consuming fire. God is righteous and just, will by no means clear the guilty. That's Bible. That's the God of the Bible. Convict of sin, of righteousness, and you'll find out, even if you're moral and religion, God will show you through the preaching of the gospel, you don't have a righteousness. Isaiah 64:6, this righteousness, this holiness, this religion that you made up is a filthy rag. It's a fig leaf like Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves with. God's, that won't cover. And judgment. It's a judgment to face, and you cannot face it. You cannot face a holy God if you've got one sin on your record. Now, then the Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ. He said, it's all about me. He'll take the things of mine and show them unto you. He'll show you that Christ is a sin offering. Christ is the sin payment. Christ is the burnt offering. Christ is your righteousness. Christ is your holy righteousness. Christ is your covering. Christ is your acceptance with God. Christ is the one that stands in the judgment for you. Christ is the one who was judged for you. Christ is the one who was condemned for you. Christ is the one who died for you. Christ is the one. And you'll be found in Him, in the judgment. Not standing alone, but standing in Him. Because He did it all. And you know it, and you're glad of it. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Doesn't make you talk like a blooming idiot. Jibba jabba judge. I call it Fred Flintstone religion. That's fake. It's phony. Anybody can do that. That's not it. He'll take you and sit you down. You won't be jumping and shouting and hanging on chandeliers and talking like a blooming idiot. You'll sit down, clothed in your right mind like that demoniac from the Gadarene tomb, and hear it at the feet of Jesus Christ. And you'll be talking about what? Him. Everything that's in your heart and in your mind comes out of your mouth from then on will be about Him. It won't be foolishness. Finally, it'll be wisdom. Christ, our wisdom. Where am I? The call. This is the Holy Spirit, how He calls through the preaching of the gospel. The call is God's voice. The call is Christ's voice. The call is His word. Oh, the word of God. The gospel of God. We're born again by it. Born again by the word of God. And Peter said, this is the word which by the gospel is preached to me. Psalm 29 says, the word of the Lord makes the hinds to calve. Give birth. Don't you remember? You were like Rebecca. Remember when Rebecca, the Lord, she was barren. And the Lord put life in her. And there were two men in her that He put in Rebecca, Isaac's wife. He put these two men in her. And Rebecca was just torn up. She wasn't torn up before. Until God put life in her, she's doing just fine, you know. Now all of a sudden she's got this life in her, and there are two men. And she said, why am I like this? Why am I tore up? What is wrong with me? What has happened to me? And our Lord said, there's two men in you. One is mine. Jacob have I loved. The other I hate. Two men is an old man, a new man. Christ in you is the hope of glory, he said. And there's this old man. There's a butterfly waiting to be revealed. And there's a worm, that old man. You, that's you, that's me. We're always going to be us. And in us is no good thing. And God's going to put us in the grave. But that new creature created in the image of Christ, born again by the word of God, someday is going to fly into the sun. And I can't wait. I'm going to have to. Born again. The gospel call. The call of Christ. The called. Who does the Lord call? Look at verse 26 in our text. I've got to quit. Look at verse 26. It says, you see your calling, brethren. Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble to call. God has chosen the foolish things of the world. Are you a fool? That's unwise. Have you played the fool? Have you acted the fool? You know, to sin against God is foolish. To reject your Creator, man, that's foolish. To bite the hand that feeds you, what a fool. Shake your fist in the hands of God in whose hands your breath is. Don't you have any sense? Oh, foolish things of the world to confound the wise. The weak things. Weak things. Oh, when God calls by the gospel, by the truth, God reveals the truth to us, we realize, I can't do anything. I can't pray. I can't believe. I can't keep myself. I can't walk by faith. I can't do anything. You know what I need? I need the Lord to save me. I need the Lord to keep me. I need the Lord to keep me all my days. John and I were talking about what a miracle it is we're sitting here. And if we end up in glory, man, what a miracle. Still prone to wonder. If he called me in the first place, what a miracle. No, he'll never come. You'll never ride that wild ass's colt, they said to Christ. Yes, I will. And he did. All the way into Jerusalem. And it'll be a miracle, buddy. Brother, you and I, that's why there's going to be silence for 30 minutes. I keep bringing that up. Because this is unspeakable gift. This is joy unspeakable. We're all going to be so amazed, stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Wonder why he would love me, John Newton said. A wretch. Like me, saved a wretch like me, and here he is standing in glory, clothed in white, clothed in righteousness, no sin ever again, nothing on his record, all of it blotted out, every bit of it forgotten. While the rest of them that were, he was just like them. He was just like those people that God said, get out of my presence, you're going to perish forever. He was just like them. And now there he stands. Unblameable, unreprovable, holy, righteous in God's sight, praising his name forever. There's going to be silence for 30 minutes. We're all going to be. I'm here. What a miracle. What a miracle. What a miracle. They were going to laugh. That's what Psalm 126 said. When the Lord turned again our captivity, we're like them that dreamed. And it says, then our mouths were filled with laughter. Oh, man. I was glad when they said unto me, oh, I am glad, more glad now. Even at first that they call, I was called by his grace. And he, you know what? Who he calls, he keeps calling. And never quits calling. Never quits calling. If he does, you're not his. He keeps calling them. You know, I told you about my dog, and Abner was a good dog. Charlie was not. He's a Shih Tzu. I'm sorry, he just is. He was. But we chose him. We bought him. We brought him. We taught him. He didn't learn very well. We taught him. We called him. Called him Charlie. Charlie's. We love the name Charlie. We called him Charlie. And we loved him. Slept in bed with us for 15 years. A dog. At any rate, old Charlie, he lived in the big house, you know. Abner was outside. Abner wanted in. Charlie wanted out. And Abner despised Charlie for his snooty, you know, laying on silk pillows and all that. And Charlie, I think he despised Abner. You know, as good as me. They're both dogs. Both of them were chosen. Both of them were paid, bought and paid, kept and loved. No, just dogs. I'm sorry. But Charlie wanted out, okay. And Buddy, every now and then, he'd get out, wouldn't he? We'd let him out. We'd let him out to potty. And he'd destroy our shrubs. And but anyway, we let him out. And he's looking like this. Didn't he, Mindy? And Mindy would call him, "Come! No! Stop!" Didn't have any effect on him. She had no authority in her voice at all. "Stop!" She could get as mean as she wanted. "No!" And just say, he wouldn't stop. Well, sometimes, though, I would holler. Sometimes I'd growl. "Stop!" The point is, he's always wanting to run off. Always wanting off. But he's our dog. We love him. We bought him. Paid for him. Not going to let him run off. Why? What are we going to do? We'll keep calling him. If he runs, we call. If he gets too far, we go after him. Now, he had little short legs. And every now and then, one time he got out in the snow, and he had long hair, and he got snowbound, had hair, ice balls all over. He would have died. Wouldn't he, man? He would have died. We found him. He couldn't move. Shivering, shaking, trembling. We went out and got him. Picked him up. Put him on our shoulders. Brought him home. And that's what Christ is going to do for all his people. Every one of them he chose. Every one of them he bought. Every one of them he loves. Everyone he calls by the gospel, he keeps calling. And if you run too, you can't run too far. Mm-mm. You can hide, but not from him. And he's going to come get you. How? Right here. We've had people in this room who left for a long time. And they're back. And you know what I think about that? It's a miracle I haven't done it. I'm just glad they're back. Because I may run off. But if he's called me, he'll call me back. Now, isn't that good news? It is if you're prone to wander. Okay, Brother John, if you'll come, lead us some closing hymn.